The first reading today can be found on page 668 in the Church Bibles, and it's from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 2, then it jumps to 12 to 14, and then on to chapter 2, 18 to 23, and that's page 668 in the Church Bibles. "Meaningless, meaningless," says the teacher. "Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Wisdom is meaningless. I, the teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless. Chasing after the wind." Then chapter 2. "I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish. Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labour under the sun. For a person may labour with wisdom, knowledge and skill, and then they must leave all they own to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labour under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Morning. The second reading is Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 41. And can be found on page 1045 in the Church Bibles. The Parable of the Rich Fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man who appointed me as a judge or an arbitrator between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Thank you, readers. I just invite Chris up now. Lord, we just thank you for the words that you've laid on Chris's heart. Lord, just open our minds to receive them. And may the Holy Spirit speak through him this morning and reach inside each one of us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you to our readers. And thank you to all of you for inviting me back. It's lovely to be here. So, what are we striving for? And in whose strength do we strive? Solomon is best known for his wisdom. It's sort of come into the vernacular now, hasn't it? The wisdom of Solomon. If you need wisdom to when you're thinking about making a decision, you ask for the wisdom of Solomon. The story of his judgment is well known. Solomon was given wisdom by God. God appeared to him in a dream when he ascended to the throne in 970 BC. And God asked him, what gift do you want of me to rule your people? And Solomon very wisely said that he would like wisdom. And because it was a selfless answer, rather than, you know, he could have asked for long life, for riches, for death to his enemies, whatever. But he asked for wisdom. And God, because of that, because he had made that wise and selfless decision, God also gave him wealth and honor. Now, if you have wisdom, wealth, and honor, you would think you'd be pretty well set for life, wouldn't you? But Solomon began a search for meaning elsewhere. He started toiling for things under the sun, our reading tells us, as opposed to under God. So he's doing it in his own strength. He's doing it from a human perspective rather than with God, rather than seeking what God wants. And he spent many years in this search, and he searched high and low. He searched in wisdom, he searched in pleasures, he searched in stimulants, wine and things like that, in materialism, the grand building projects which he did, some of which were wonderful, absolutely wonderful, don't get me wrong, but he was not always searching in God's strength. And along the way, he incurred God's displeasure. And many of the places that Solomon was seeking meaning are places that people nowadays seek meaning. Security, amusement, as I say, pleasures, wine, whatever it may be. People search endlessly for meaning, for satisfaction, for security. The 20th century American psychologist Abraham Maslow developed a hierarchy of human needs. The first, the most basic sort of ground level, as it were our physiological needs. Food, water, air that we breathe, things like that. Absolute basics. Solomon was very well catered for. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 22 and 23, we're told Solomon's daily provisions were 30 cores of the finest flour. A core is about 220 litres. So 30 cores of the finest flour, 60 cores of meal, 10 head of stall-fed cattle, 20 of pasture-fed cattle, and 100 sheep and goats, as well as deer, gazelle, roebuck, and choice fowl. I don't know about you, but I don't fancy his grocery bill. But he was very well provided for as regards his physiological needs. Okay, that was to feed his household, and we'll come on to his household in a minute. But even so, I don't think he's going to be going to bed hungry. Maslow's second need was security, which is described as a lack of violence, crime, or war. It is described as health, well-being, stable environment, financial security and safety nets. So knowing that you have something to fall back on. Well, again, Solomon, I don't think, had too much to worry about as regards a safety net. Plenty to fall back on. He had the people that he reigned over, particularly in the early days, loved him, thought he was a wonderful king. And he was very good at forging strategic unity between his kingdom and neighboring kingdoms. He married various daughters of neighboring kings to ensure that he wasn't going to be attacked. So again, from a security point of view, you would think he was well set. The third need that Maslow came up with was love and belonging. The Bible tells us that Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Whether or not that equates to love and belonging. I'm not entirely sure, but I think one wife will be quite enough for most of us. But again, love and belonging. And as I say, his the people that he reigned over loved him as well. The fourth of Maslow's needs is esteem, self-respect, confidence, respect of others, reputation, recognition and achievement. Well, we know that Solomon achieved a huge amount. His wisdom, his buildings, and by and large a very successful reign. Not totally successful, but by and large. And he's still, you know, a big historical figure today. So, you know, respect of others, reputation, I think we can take that with as a tick. And the last of Maslow's needs, self-actualization, creativity, personal growth, moral development, pursuit of meaning, purpose-driven action, peak experience. And again, with all that he achieved, Solomon, I think, would have had that. And these things that Maslow identified and that Solomon was seeking after are, as I said earlier, things that we today search for. But Solomon was seeking for them without God. He was toiling under the sun, as many people do. And as I say, along the way, he incurred God's wrath, which is probably the subject of another sermon, but it's all there in the Book of Kings, if you would care to read it. So Solomon's years of searching reveals a deep yearning for meaning and purpose that cannot be found in worldly pursuits alone. And his experience serves as a cautionary tale to us and to anyone we know who is searching for this meaning without God's, without God alongside them. And so our first reading, Ecclesiastes, written towards the end of Solomon's life, he's looping back after all these years of searching, and he says, it is all meaningless without God. The word meaningless, or vanity, excuse me, the Hebrew word there, and forgive my pronunciation, is hebel, which means breath, vapor, transitory, fleeting, insubstantial, anything that's empty or futile. The picture I had as I was preparing for today was of steam or fog. You can see it, it's there in front of you, but you try and grasp it and it's gone. But then it appears around your clenched fist again. You can't actually grab it. And that was how Solomon felt after all his years of searching, that he couldn't grasp the thing that he had so desperately been looking for. Interestingly, Abraham Maslow was not a Christian, but he was absolutely certain that human beings need something bigger than themselves if they are to live, thrive, and survive. They say he wasn't a Christian, so he was missing something. He knew it was out there, but rather like Solomon, he couldn't grasp it. Maslow also said, if you plan on being anything less than you are capable of, then you will probably be unhappy all the days of your life. And I wonder, what are we capable of? What are we capable of in our own strength? What are we capable of toiling under the sun? And on the other side, what are we capable of with God? And so to our second reading, the rich fool, who is firmly stuck on Maslow's second need of security and a safety net. He has plenty of grain to keep him comfortable for many years, and so he thinks, yeah, this is my safety net. This is what's going to catch me if I fall. So I'll build bigger barns, and then I can relax. But God has other ideas. I recently have given up my job in the city. I worked in insurance for 34 years, and I'm waiting to start a new career in the ambulance service. The ambulance service doesn't pay quite as well as insurance. And so I find that I'm looking at my bank balance, I'm looking at my pension pot, I'm looking at my safety nets, and thinking, have I done enough? Can I survive? Can I afford whatever it may be? Am I all right still to be shopping at Sainsbury's? Or should I maybe be going to, I don't know, Aldi or Lidl or to the food bank? You know, B&M or take your pick. It is, I think, a very natural way to think of things. But what I need to do is remind myself that if I'm wise with many blessings that God has given me, and if I keep talking to God, then all will be well. But it is a challenge. And if you read on from that parable through the rest of Luke chapter 12, verses that we all know very, very well, I'm sure, Jesus tells his disciples, don't worry about anything. Look at the flowers of the field, look at the birds of the air, see how God provides for them, and how much more will God provide for us, his children. But we need to keep our eyes on God. I don't usually pay much attention to social media, but something cropped up in the last couple of weeks while I've been preparing for today. And it is perhaps a word from God. It says, life is strange. You arrive with nothing, spend your whole life chasing everything, and yet you still leave with nothing. Make sure your soul gains more than your hands. I'll leave you with three Bible verses, if I may. The first from Psalm 128, verse 5. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. From Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And from Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. I preached at Oldham before I came here, and the words from one of the hymns that we sung. Breathe through the heat of our desire, thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire. Speak through the earthquake, wind and fire, O still small voice of calm. In all the pressures that we face in this world, we must keep an ear open for God's word, his still small voice of calm. And similar sort of thing with our second song. Be still, my soul, be still, and do not fear though winds of change may rage. That's what we need to do. Be still, listen while the winds of change rage. We're all searching. We're all searching for something. We all need to know that we are secure, that we have our safety net. But can I encourage you to make sure that while you're searching, while you're questioning, you keep God alongside you? The wonderful words of the poem, The Gate of the Year by Minnie Louise Haskins. Go out into the darkness, put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than a light and safer than a known way. Amen.
Thank you, Chris. That was wonderful. I think we all struggle at times as to knowing whether we're working in our own strength or God's strength. It's so easy to sort of wear oneself out, and we have to work to get things done, but it's having that balance is a very fine line. And I just pray that for all of us that we get that right, and that whatever we're doing, we are expressing our emotions and talking to God for whatever we're doing, because that's what we all need to do. Thank you very much, Chris.